welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, delivering programs from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark Levenier. In this hour, sitcoms. Later on, we'll hear a funny episode of The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, but right now it's A Date with Judy, an NBC broadcast part of their Tuesday night lineup at 8:30. Nearly 9 million people tuned into this broadcast, first heard on August 1st, 1944.
Night and day, at home or away, always carry Tums, T-U-M-S. Tums, famous quick relief for acid indigestion, presents A Date with Judy.
Hello?
Hello, Judy. This is Harold. I just called to tell you that you were the prettiest girl at the party last night.
Why, Harold.
Yeah, and that white sweater you wore is the prettiest one I've ever seen.
Oh, Harold, aren't you sweet? I got it at the Emporium.
Judy, are you doing anything tonight?
Why, not a thing.
Oh, swell. As long as you're free, would you go down to the Emporium and get another sweater, only in pink?
Oh, Harold, how darling of you.
Be sure and get size 44. It's for my mother's birthday.
Well, that's Judy, folks. Judy Foster, the cutest date in town. Your date with her each Tuesday at this same time is arranged by the makers of Tums, famous quick relief for acid indigestion. Well, let's see. Tomorrow is Father Foster's birthday. And that's why we find Judy and her 12-year-old brother Randolph at a downtown department store shopping for a perfect gift.
Judy, you don't think Father would like a baseball bat, do you?
Certainly not. Let's stop fooling, Randolph, and get Father something he needs.
Well, here's a baseball glove. Don't you think Father would go for that?
Randolph, we only have $2, and we're going to use it to buy Father something he wants.
Well, do you think he'd like a canoe?
Father wouldn't know what to do with a canoe.
I don't know. He does all right with a paddle.
Well, let's get out of this sports department and try to remember Father is not a sport.
They got gem, chem, chem chemistry sets for $2 in the toy department.
What do you want Father to do, blow himself up?
Hey, where are you going now?
Oh, there's just something over here I want to look at.
Judy, we haven't got much time.
Oh, Randolph, isn't this gorgeous?
I don't think Father would look well in a necklace.
Oh, Randolph, these earrings are divine.
You think Father really needs earrings?
No, but I wish he did.
Well, I'm sure he'd get a lot more wear out of this diamond tiara.
Look, my birthday isn't so far off, so if we bought Father a present for me, then he'd have it to give to me.
Well, in that case, let's get him a chemistry set, a baseball glove, a bicycle, and a Boy Scout knife. It'll relieve Father of birthday worries, as far as I'm concerned, for 5 years.
Oh, be quiet, Randolph. Come on, let's shop further.
Okie dokie. Hey, Judy, what are you going over to that counter for? Father doesn't wear black nightgowns.
Well, hello, children.
Hi, Mother.
It only took long enough on your shopping trip.
Did you get your father a birthday present?
Yes, Mother, we did.
We almost got lost in the wilds of the laundry department, but we managed to hack our way out.
Why, Randolph, how can you say that? We just took sort of a quick swing through that department.
What'd you get, Father? Something useful, I hope.
Oh, yes, Mother, something very useful.
What, Judy?
I don't think we ought to tell you, because we want it to be a surprise for Father.
Oh, I won't tell.
We got him a smoking jacket.
Oh, Randolph, what did you tell for? You know how friendly Mother is with Father.
A smoking jacket? But your father doesn't smoke.
When he has this jacket, he will.
You mean you got a smoking jacket for $2?
Oh, no, Mother. We couldn't get Father anything cheap. This was $18.
$18? Well, where did you get $18?
Oh, we charged it.
You charged it? You bought a present for your father, and you're making him pay for it?
Shouldn't we have done it? Father pays for everything else. He's always...
Well, that's just it. He pays for everything all year round. For me, for you, and for Randolph. And on his birthday, he has to pay for his own birthday present. Well, I think it's a shame.
I guess we shouldn't have charged it.
Well, you certainly shouldn't have. Why, I was so proud of you having saved up $2 to spend on Father. And now, incidentally, what happened to the $2?
Oh, the $2. Well, Randolph bought himself a baseball glove for 79 cents.
Well, Judy bought herself a snood.
Well, it was just the color of my chartreuse dress. I might never have found as perfect a match again, Mother. I might have looked 1,000 years and not have found another like it. It was an absolute necessity, and it was only 85 cents.
Well, that still doesn't count up to $2.
Oh. Well, when we finished, we were so exhausted from shopping that we had to buy Chocolate Sundays.
Another necessity, Mother.
Yes, I see. Well, Father is not going to pay for his own birthday present.
He isn't?
No, Judy, he isn't. I'm going to call up the department store and cancel that smoking jacket right now.
The baseball glove can't be canceled. We bought it outright.
Now listen to me, children. Your father works hard, and then he has a birthday. And what do his children do? They buy themselves chartreuse snoods and baseball gloves.
Only one baseball glove, Mother.
Oh, poor father. No one ever thinks of him. All he ever thinks of is us, but we just neglect him.
He is neglected, isn't he?
He certainly is, Judy.
Oh, Mother, I'm terribly sorry. I feel awful. Poor father. We hardly pay any attention to him.
Well,
I could take the baseball glove back.
I know what would be nicer than anything.
What?
If we spend the entire day with Father on his birthday.
Well,
oh, Mother,
Judy,
it's a perfectly lovely idea.
But, Judy, Why, of course,
that's what we'll do, Randolph. For at least one day in his life, poor Father will know he's loved and appreciated.
Sounds mighty ghoulish to me.
It's perfectly beautiful. Father will have one perfect day. We'll go down to his office and surprise him early in the morning and just make Father happy all day long.
Well, Judy and Randolph have decided to give Father a big break on his birthday. They're going to devote the whole day to him, doing nothing but just making him happy. And now we pick up the kids as they enter his office. Poor Father.
Happy birthday, Father.
Huh?
Happy birthday, Father.
Oh, thanks. Now, would you mind scramming, please?
Father, Randolph and I are going to devote the whole day to you. You'll have to leave the office right now and come with us.
I'm sure that'd be very pleasant, dear, but I have an 11 o'clock appointment.
But, Father, all the arrangements are made. You simply got to
Look,
leave.
Look, Judy, a man has come to town. A very important man from whom I expect to get a very big favor. See, I've been using a patent for years, and now he says he has a claim. If he slaps an injunction on me...
But, Father, we're going to spend the whole day making you happy.
I don't want to be happy. I just want my rights to this patent. This is the most important piece of business I ever had.
Who is this man who's going to be here at 11 o'clock?
Mr. Quigley. A.Q. Quigley. Stopping at the Carter Hotel just across the street, and he'll be here in a minute. So would you mind getting out of here and leaving me
to I don't know how you can think of business on your birthday.
Judy, when you get to my age, you'll think of business on your birthday. Now, look, you two, run along, will you? If you really want to help me out, beat it.
Oh, Father.
This is what's called a paternal brush-off. Goodbye, Father.
Oh, Randolph, what are we going to do? And after all the wonderful plans we've made...
Well, I guess Father's been neglected so long he likes it.
Randolph, we simply must rescue Father from himself. Come on.
Where are you going now?
To the Carter Hotel. We'll see Mr. Quigley and explain the whole situation. After all, it is Father's birthday, and we must do everything to make him happy.
Yeah, even if it kills him.
It's very important, Mr. Quigley, very. The situation is that it's Father's birthday, and we've planned this perfect day of happiness for him.
Mm-mm, I see.
We know business is your primary interest and all that, but you wouldn't want to interfere with filial affection, would you?
Decidedly not. Personally, I know nothing of filial affection, but I decidedly wouldn't interfere with it.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Quigley. I think you're wonderful.
Not at all. I'll call your father now and cancel our appointment.
You will? Oh, that's wonderful, Mr. Quigley. You don't know what this day of happiness is going to mean to Father.
Hello? Oh, hello, Mr. Quigley. Well, Mr. Quigley, I see Mr. Quigley, but couldn't you... Well, when could you... I see, Mr. Quigley. Goodbye, Mr. Quigley. Oh, I'm sick. Come in.
Hello, Father.
Hello, Father.
Oh, you two again. What do you want now?
We thought we'd try once again to give you a happy birthday.
Happy birthday. This is the most horrible day of my life. Mr. Quigley just phoned me he isn't keeping his appointment. And he doesn't know when he'll give me another.
Is that so, Father?
Yes, that's so. It might be months or years before I have another chance like this. And by that time, I'll be... bankrupt.
Father, we planned a whole day of positive happiness for you. So all you have to do is come with us and... You will, won't you?
Look, Judy, I... Oh, well, why not? What have I got to lose? Lead on!
Oh, Father, I think that's just scrumptious. Now remember, Father, this is absolutely your day. So we want you to do everything you most like to do. What would you like to do most?
Spend the day quietly,
under a nice shady tree.
And so here we are at a nice, quiet amusement park.
Oh, but Father, this was all prearranged. After we're through here, we can do something you'd like to do. But you see, Father, this had been planned beforehand. I wonder where the gang is.
The gang?
Yes, Father.
Your gang?
Yes, Father. Oh, there they are in front of the funhouse. Come on.
Just what I love most, your gang. I don't get enough of it at home every night. I have to have it on my birthday, too.
I see everybody else, but I don't see Mr. Quigley.
Quigley? What's Quigley got to do with it?
Oh, we invited him to come along.
You what?
Why, yes, Father. We thought it'd be nice if you had a pal about your own age.
A pal? That tight-faced conservative old... You'll scare the tar out of him.
We just did it for you, to make you happy.
Happy? I was never lower in my whole life. I can't believe it. You asked Quigley to come to this den of horrors?
Oh, Father, he'll enjoy it as much as you will.
That's what I'm afraid of. A.Q. Quigley, good Lord, a staid, blue-nosed old bachelor. Your crowd will kill him.
Oh, is he a bachelor?
Yes, he is. Oh, Judy, why do you do things like this to me?
Oh, well, if he's a bachelor, I'll have to fix him up with a girl.
Huh?
I wonder if Mitzi's his type.
Fix Quigley up with a... Oh, no. No, not that.
Well, you want him to have fun, don't you? Oh, hi, gang. Hi, everybody.
Happy birthday for your father, Judy.
Thank you, Mitzi. Excuse me a minute. Come here, Jojo.
What do you want, Judy?
Well, something's happened that calls for a tremendous sacrifice on your part. Would you mind giving up Mitzi?
Giving up Mitzi?
Uh-huh. Only temporarily. My father's pal is meeting us here as a bachelor, and since it's father's birthday, well, you wouldn't want my father's pal not to have a date today, would you?
Well, no, but...
Well, I thought Mitzi would be a good type for Mr. Quigley, would you mind terribly if you went stag?
Well, gee, I don't know. Maybe Mitzi isn't willing to sacrifice me.
Mitzi, come on over here a second.
Yeah, Judy?
Mitzi, Jojo's willing to release you for the day because I have another date for you.
You have?
Mm-hmm. He's an older man.
An older man? Oh, how marvelous. I adore men in their 20s.
Well, he's not exactly in his 20s.
Oh, well, suppose he's 19. Even that's okay.
Well, he's not exactly 19 either.
Oh, gosh, that's getting right back to Jojo.
Oh, he's older than Jojo, and he's very rich. A millionaire.
Oh, boy.
Maybe even a multimillionaire. And I give you my word of honor, he's an older man. Much older.
It's a deal, Judy.
Swell.
Hey, Judy, come on out of your huddle. Mr. Quigley's here.
Oh, Mr. Quigley, let me explain. This is
all
a
mis... It's all fixed, Father. I mean about Mr. Quigley's date.
Oh, Judy, for the love of heaven.
How are you, Miss Foster?
I'm fine. Oh, Mr. Quigley, here's your date. Mr. Quigley, Miss Mitzi Hoffman.
How do you do?
Is this Mr. Quigley?
Why, yes, Mitzi.
I think I'll go back to Jojo.
Mr. Quigley, really, I didn't know this was going to happen.
I like older men, Judy, but gee, not that old.
Oh, how can you say that? How old are you, Mr. Quigley?
Why, I'm 45.
You see? That's not so old. He's got most of his hair. Turn around, Mr. Quigley.
Judy!
See, and the back is pretty well covered.
Yeah, that's what I'd call a fringe.
Don't be silly, Mitzi. Why, I bet if Mr. Quigley had on a toupee, he'd be almost stunning.
Can I get you something, A.Q.? I'm dreadfully sorry.
No, nothing at all.
Can I get you something, Father? You look like you need it.
No, Randolph, they wouldn't sell it to you.
Okay, Judy, okay, I'll do it for you. I'll be his girlfriend, but just for today, on account of your father's birthday.
Don't do me any favors.
Oh, gee, thank you, Mitzi.
Come on, Quigley Wiggly. Now, let's see, what would you rather do first? Go into the fun house or into the tunnel of love?
Oh, this is horrible.
Come on, everybody, let's go to the fun house.
Wait a minute, gang. Let him have it.
Nice and loud now, all together.
Happy birthday to you.
A.Q., let me explain. This is all a mistake.
Oh, Father. Father, I'm so glad you're enjoying your birthday so much.
I'm enjoying a merry chase, that's what. Every time I open my mouth to talk to Quigley, a rolling barrel upsets him. Or he shoots down a slide.
Oh. But it's fun, isn't it, Father?
Yes, Judy, it's fun. The kind to have in insane asylums.
Oh, Father, watch out. Isn't that a trap door in front of you?
Trap door? It's nothing of the kind. I know a trap door when I see one.
Wrong again.
Judy, what is this hole in the wall called?
Father, how unromantic of you. This is the tunnel of love.
I can hardly see. I wonder where Quigley and that magpie are. I don't know how Quigley's going to hold up under this. Normally, he looks like he was ready to cave in.
Oh, Father,
if he's 45, I'm 16.
Father, he and Mitzi are sitting in the seat in front of us.
In the seat? Quigley, is that you?
Yes, it is I.
Oh, it is, isn't it?
Well, I was just thinking how nice it is you being near me where I can get a chance to talk to you, explain this mess.
Can I tell you something, Mr. Quigley?
You may tell me something, Miss Mitzi.
Well, usually when we get into the tunnel of love, we pitch woo.
Pitch woo?
Yeah, you know, hold hands.
In your day, Mr. Quigley, it was probably called bundling.
That was a little before my day.
You see, Mitzi, he's not so old.
Miss Mitzi, shall I be required to pitch woo?
Well, of course, that's entirely up to you, Mr. Quigley, but you just do what you like.
Father and I won't watch if you don't want us to, will we, Father?
No, not if they don't want us to.
Oh, it's so wonderful to celebrate your birthday with you, Father. I never knew how much fun it was to just give of yourself for somebody else's happiness. I love it. Just giving and giving.
If you really want to give, for the love of heaven, give me a chance to talk to Quigley alone. Mitzi, would you mind changing seats with me? I want to discuss a new type of canning process with Mr. Quigley.
Change seats? Why, that'd be terrible.
It would?
Why, of course. Gosh, thanks. What would everybody think if they saw us coming out of the tunnel of love, me sitting with Judy, and Mr. Foster holding hands with Mr. Quigley?
Well, Judy's gang is celebrating Father's birthday. They have Father and an important business associate, Mr. Quigley, out at the amusement park. And are those gentlemen getting the works? Listen.
Judy, what are we going to do now?
Eat our picnic lunch, of course, Father, and then we're going swimming. Oh, isn't it lovely? And to think it's all for your birthday, Father.
All I can say is I wish I was never born.
Now, Father, you know you're having a wonderful time, so laugh.
Now? When I'll have all the rest of my life to laugh? In a maniacal sort of way, in a padded cell?
Hey, come and look at Mr. Quigley.
What's wrong with Mr. Quigley?
Well, nothing's wrong with him. He fell off the pier into the water.
Oh, good heavens.
Oh, he's all right now. They pulled him out. Of course, he's kind of puffing like an old dinosaur, but
I think... 20 years I've been trying to build up a good, respectable business, and in one fell swoop, I'm ruined.
Oh, don't worry, Father. If necessary, I can become a professional baseball player and support the family. I got a glove now.
When we get home tonight, you better plan on wearing it someplace else besides your hand.
Here we are, everybody. Help yourself to lunch from the back.
Oh, Mr. Quigley. Say, Mr. Quigley, are you all right?
Mr. Foster, please don't disturb us. We're having lunchy-wunchy. Aren't we, Quigley?
You're quite so.
But after Mr. Quigley's fall from the pier...
He's perfectly all right. He's a little wet. But after he eats his lunch, he's going to get in a bathing suit anyway, so what's the diff?
He might catch cold.
Oh, that's silly. Come on now, Quigley Wiggly, open your mouth. That's it. Now I'll just poke in a spoon of ice cream. There we are. How about a pickle?
Oh, for the love of heaven.
I'm all right, Foster, but I mean to say a pickle.
Please, Mr. Foster, Quig is my date. Now open wide.
Okay, everybody, get into your suits. We're going swimming.
Swimming? Right after lunch?
Are you crazy, Judy?
Oh, Father, we're right here on the lake. We might as well use it. Here's a suit for you, Father. Go in the bathhouse and put it on.
I refuse to go swimming.
But, Father, you can't refuse. Not after all the trouble JoJo went to get a suit for you. He had to borrow one from his little brother.
From his little brother?
Mm-hmm. It might be tight on account of JoJo's little brother only being 10 years old, but he's big for his age.
Oh.
Come on, Father. Nearly everyone's ready to go in. There goes Mr. Quigley.
Mr. Quigley? Well, he's got his clothes on.
Well, he isn't going to bother changing. He's all wet anyhow.
Oh. I'll never get that patent. I might as well close up my factory and go to the poorhouse right now.
Last one in's a stinker.
Okay, okay.
Yes, sir. Father's having a perfect day.
Oh, why, that was my
a stomachache.
Come on, Father. We're going to the dance pavilion.
Dance? But you mean a dance?
Oh, you won't have to jitterbug. I'll dance with you any way you want to.
I don't want to do it anyway. I just want to stay here and hold my poor, unhappy stomach.
Oh, everybody's dancing. Just do it the way you used to in the gay 90s, Father.
You might even try trotting out a minuet.
They call that music?
Mr. Quigley, A.Q., are you referring to me, Foster?
Oh, look, A.Q., when they're not looking, we can sneak out the side door.
Hey, come on, Quigley Wiggly, let's dance.
I should try to oblige you, Miss Mitzi.
Can you jitterbug?
Oh, now, Mitzi, please, please don't do that to him.
Mr. Foster, I took him on for today, and I'm going to do my duty. I'm going to see that he has a good time. Come on, Quig. Hey, that's it, Quig, that's good.
Am I manipulating properly, Miss Mitzi?
Not bad, Quig. Only don't pump my arm, just jerk it.
Oh, like this?
Hey, now you're getting in the groove.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. A worm, a squirm, a rocky tuck.
Here, Melvin, put this hot water bottle on your tummy.
Oh.
Would you like the ice bag on your head?
Everything hurts.
Oh.
My legs from walking around, my head spinning in a million different directions. I've never had such an awful day in my life.
We were only trying to celebrate your birthday.
Yeah, you celebrated it all right. Another hour of that and it would have been my last birthday ever.
Oh, Melvin.
Now listen to me, all of you. This is my last wish. My birthday is hereafter struck out of the calendar completely.
Oh, Father.
Quigley will fight me tooth and nail on that patent after this.
But, Father, all we did was for you.
Oh, don't think I don't appreciate it. You devoted a whole day to me, giving up your time, not doing the things you usually do, spending all that money. Incidentally, who footed the bill?
Mr. Quigley.
What?
He insisted.
Oh, if I ever get up from this deathbed, I'll... Oh, my stomach. Oh, poor Quigley. Who's taking care of him? Who's putting hot water bottles on his stomach? No.
That wasn't your stomach, Father. That was the telephone.
I'll get it.
Don't mind, I'll answer.
Hello? Oh, yes. Melvin, it's Mr. Quigley.
Quigley? What am I going to say to the man? Here, Judy, you hold this ice bag.
Yes.
Randolph, you hold this hot water bottle. Hello.
Hello there, Foster.
Oh, Mr. Quigley, I want to explain about today. I feel just the way you do about it.
Well, you know, I didn't know you had it in you.
Huh?
I thought it was wonderful, too. Just wonderful.
You, huh?
It was a fine day. Thanks very much. Now, Foster, about that patent.
Yeah?
You can have it.
I can what?
It's yours. Well, see you in the morning.
Yeah.
You don't sound so good. You can't take it, can you?
No, I...
Well, try to get back in shape. I feel great. Goodbye.
Well, I never.
What happened, Melvin?
He gave me the patent.
What?
He enjoyed the day. He actually enjoyed the day.
Well, here's your hot water bottle, Father.
I don't need it. All of a sudden, I feel great. I wonder who that can be.
I'll get it. Hello? Just a minute. It's Mr. Quigley again.
I knew it couldn't be true. I knew it. Give me back my hot water bottle.
I wonder what he wants now.
Let me have that phone out.
But he doesn't want to talk to you. He wants to talk to Judy.
To Judy?
I'll take it. Hello, Quigley Wiggly.
Hello, Miss Foster. I just called back to ask you a favor.
Yes, Mr. Quigley?
Could you give me Mitzi Telly's phone number?
Father, he wants Mitzi's telephone. telephone number.
What?
He must be crazy about her.
Tell him I said he might as well buy himself a toupee while he's at it.
Mr. Quigley, Father says to tell you that
Judy!
You're...
Judy!
Oh, gee, I hope that's a date.
There ought to be a way you could tell it's a date by the way the phone rings.
I hope it's somebody new. Somebody I could get a violent fever for.
You know, I could make a fortune with an invention like that.
Hello?
Hello, Judy?
Oh, hello, Jojo.
Listen, Judy, I'm pretty upset.
Why, Jojo?
Well, I didn't mind lending Mitzi to Mr. Quigley for one afternoon, but that's as far as I want to go.
Why? What's wrong?
There I was, trying to be a good guy, doing you a favor, and now what happens?
All right, what happens?
Now I can't get a date with Mitzi at all.
You can't?
No, she doesn't want to date anybody but older men.
Oh, gee, that's a shame, Jojo.
I'll say it's a shame, and it's all your fault. When I loaned Mitzi to Mr. Quigley, I lost her forever.
Oh, how gruesome.
Older men all the time. Why, do you know, last night she went out with a guy 21 years old.
She did? Gee, what does she want to do that for?
Don't ask me. She doesn't like anybody anymore unless he's got one foot in the grave.
It's awfully morbid, isn't it?
Awful. Judy, how do you feel about younger men?
I feel fine about them. Why?
Gee, I wish I could get Mitzi to feel that way.
You do?
Yeah. Judy, I know just the way to do it.
How?
You have a little brother named Randolph, don't you?
Uh-huh.
I was wondering, if I loaned Mitzi to Randolph for a couple of hours, do you think she'd get interested in younger men again?
A Date with Judy is written by Aline Leslie and stars Louise Erickson and Dix Davis. This is Doug Gourley inviting you to be with us again next Tuesday at this same time to keep your date with Judy. And remember, night and day, at home or away, always carry Tums. T-U-M-S.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
A Date with Judy, on Tuned to Yesterday from August 1st, 1944 on NBC. It's an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark LeVonier, and now the 369th episode of The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet. Broadcast on ABC on October 30th, 1953, this is what has survived from radio's yesteryear of the episode Homemade Ice Cream.
The solid silver with beauty that lives forever is International Sterling. From Hollywood, International Silver Company, creators of International Sterling, presents The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, starring America's favorite young couple, Ozzie Nelson and Harriet Hilliard. As we look in on the Nelsons, Harriet's been working all morning making preserves. And now, with shining face and nose to match, she holds up a spoon to Ozzie and says,
"Taste this, dear, and tell me how you like it."
Oh, of course.
Well, how do you like that cherry flavor?
Well, it's wonderful.
It's apricot.
it had a slight cherry overtone.
What is a slight cherry overtone?
It's when apricots taste like cherries.
Do you like it or don't you?
Well, frankly...
Yeah, that's all I wanted to know.
No. It's delicious. Well, you know what I mean.
Yes, I can read between the us.
I don't know why you go to all the trouble to make jam when you can buy jam that's much better. It's much easier.
My mother gave me this recipe.
Oh, I like the recipe. It's just that the jam is no good. Now, don't get me wrong. What I meant was that the jam is no good, but the recipe is fine. Now, wait a minute. I didn't say that.
Then who did?
Anyway, why knock yourself out? I mean, it's silly to make homemade jam. You can go down the store.
In other words, you hate my jam.
No.
Hi, Mom. Hi, Pop.
Oh, I'm glad to see you, son.
Ricky, would you place this jam for me?
With pleasure.
That's my boy. Here. How do you like it?
Well?
Like father, like son.
Mom, a bunch of kids are coming over this afternoon. Have we got enough ice cream for them?
I don't know. Look in the refrigerator.
Sorry, Mother Hubbard. Your cupboard is bare. Hey, there's the ice cream man.
Yeah, I'll get you some, Rick.
Okay, get a pint of peppermint, a quarter nut royal, a half a pint of pistachio, a quarter chocolate chip, a half pint of peach custard, and a pint of cherry delight.
Yeah, I've got a better idea. I'll get a gallon of Tutti Frutti. You can separate it yourself.
Hello, Mr. Nelson.
Oh, Joe, how many flavors you got? 24. But you take chocolate, vanilla, or strawberry. Well, I guess those are the old standbys. Well, I'll take a half a gallon of vanilla and a half a gallon of chocolate.
Okay. Now, this is real homemade stuff.
Homemade? Oh, come now, Joe. This isn't homemade.
Well, sure it is. Made by our chief chemist, Charlie Holmes.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, usually gets a laugh. Oh, not that it doesn't taste like it's homemade.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Joe. I don't want to knock your product, but nothing tastes like homemade ice cream.
Well, ours does.
Joe, you can't compare the creamy, rich, smooth taste of homemade ice cream with this stuff you're selling. Full of hunks of ice, synthetic flavors, cheap gelatin, skim milk, and pieces of cardboard.
That's what you think of our ice cream. Why do you buy it? Well, you're always here waiting for me.
Well, yes, I don't go
into your house and drag you.
I'm just saying that yours isn't as good as homemade ice cream.
Well, then why don't you make your own ice cream?
Well, I could.
Go ahead!
Well, it'd be easy. But just give me your chocolate and the vanilla.
I should say not. I'm not selling you anything you don't like. If you're not a satisfied customer, you're not a customer. Goodbye, Mr. Nelson. Happy cranking.
Come back in a couple of hours and I'll show you I can make better ice cream.
Did you get the ice cream, Pop?
No, I didn't buy it. I changed my mind.
If you needed some money, I could have loaned you some.
Don't do it, Pop. He charges too much interest. 28% a day.
That's illegal.
It doesn't matter. I'm a minor. What are we going to do for ice cream? I got a whole bunch of kids coming over here.
What happened to the ice cream?
Well, Pop didn't get it.
That's right. While I was out talking to the ice cream man, I got a wonderful idea.
Are you going to treat all the kids to the movies?
No, I'm going to make real homemade ice cream for you. You've got that old ice cream freezer in the garage. Rick, where are you going?
I'm going to call my friends and tell them not to come over.
Wait a second. Have any of you ever tasted any homemade ice cream?
No, but we've tasted homemade jam.
I'm beginning to get a persecution complex. Tell me one thing. How is it you can be against my making jam at home, but it's all right for you to make ice cream?
Well, you can buy good jam at the store, but you can't buy homemade ice cream. You have a cookbook handy?
Oh, please, Pop.
No, Ricky, this will make you the most popular kid around here.
Couldn't he just learn to play the piano or something?
Believe me, your friends will just love this, Rick.
Here's a cookbook.
All right. See here. Ice box cake. Icing, ice cream. Oh, here we are. Oh, look at all the different kinds. What flavor would you like?
Pepto-Bismol.
Let's see. We need some rock salt, first of all.
We got some in the basement we used on the sidewalk that time it got icy. I'll get it for you.
Well, let's see, and we need cream.
I'll get it for you.
And I'll get the freezer. Oh, Harriet, this is becoming a family project.
Yes, it is. I'll get the mop.
Hey, what are you looking for, Oz?
Oh, hiya, Thorny. Looking for our old ice cream freezer.
Oh, gonna make ice cream, huh?
Yeah.
I wondered why Harriet was putting newspapers down on the kitchen floor.
Well, she's always a little nervous when I'm in the kitchen.
Yeah, I remember she put newspapers down that time you showed her how to bake a cake.
Yeah.
Should have put them on the ceiling, too. How come you're making ice cream?
Well, I had a little argument with Joe, you know, the ice cream man.
Wouldn't drop his price for you, huh?
No. But he had the nerve to tell me his stuff was better than homemade ice cream.
Heavens to Betsy, how dare he?
Cut it out. I doubt if he's ever tasted the real stuff. You had it when you were a kid, didn't you?
Oh, sure. We used to make some practically every Sunday.
Oh, there's nothing like it, was there, Thorny? The way the stuff used to melt in your mouth.
Yeah.
Well, off to the kitchen.
Oz, old friend, do you need any help?
Glad to have you aboard, Thorny.
Well, the kitchen's all ready for you, Chef Bologna.
Harry, there's no reason. Hey, how did you get those newspapers on the ceiling?
Scotch tape. I see you've got a partner for your crime.
Yes, sir. When old Oz started talking about making old-fashioned ice cream, that was enough for me.
Well, there's the cookbook and all the things you need. If you want me, you'll find me cringing in the cellar.
Okay, boy, let's get to work. What's the first thing we do?
Well, let me see what it says here. 3 cups of cream. Use cream that is 24 hours old. Makes a finer grain than fresh cream.
Okay, what's the next step?
We've got to add sugar, salt, more cream.
Looks okay to me, but you sure spilled a lot on the drain board.
Oh, mop it up, will you, Tony?
I don't know what you'd do without me.
Now I'll get the freezer. No, 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 don't wring the dish rag out into the ice cream, Thorny.
I just didn't want to waste all this good stuff.
Now we pour it into the freezer and put the ice in.
Yeah, well, hold it. Does the ice cream go into the can on the inside and the ice on the outside? Or does the ice cream go on the outside and the ice on the inside?
That's a pretty good question. Let's figure this out logically.
Well, now, wait a minute. The ice must go in the can on the inside.
Inside.
Otherwise, it'd melt too fast, huh?
No, I remember distinctly. I always licked out the inside can, never the outside.
I'll tell you what, let's play it safe, huh? Pour half on the inside and half on the outside.
No. We've got to take a chance one way or the other, and I'm sure it goes on the inside.
Okay, you're the brain. Pour it in. It looks a little lumpy.
Oh, I left the spoon in. Can you fish it out there?
I'll try. I got it. Where's the towel?
Right in back of you. There we are.
Let me just see how it tastes.
No. We don't taste it until it's ready.
Now what?
Well, we put the lid on and you pour the ice in.
Hey, look out. What's the matter?
You're getting it all over the floor. Here, I'll do it. Honestly, Thorny, you're a vivid example of the old adage, if you want a thing done right, you've got to do it yourself.
Oh, now, really,
Hand me the rock salt, would you please?
There you are. Now what?
Now all we have to do is crank it.
All we have to do is crank it?
Well, sure, you're helping me.
Oz, I refer you to your statement of a moment ago. If you want a thing done right, do it yourself.
And now, as we rejoin the Nelsons, the ice cream freezer is in full operation on the back porch. You hear that rusty creaking? Those are Ozzie's muscles. The ice cream freezer is well oiled.
Come along.
Oh, Bob.
Vicki.
Well, so long, Pop.
No. Have you ever figured out, son, there's an art to turning the handle on an ice cream freezer?
Really?
Oh, yes. You see, you can't turn it too fast. You can't turn it too slow. I don't know whether you could do it or not. However, I might let you try it.
Hey, Pop, you just reminded me of something.
What's that?
I gotta take my copy of Tom Sawyer back to the library.
Oh, I'll see you later, Huck. Barney!
David, just put that tray of jars on the shelf. The jam will cool better out there on the back porch.
Okay, Mom.
Oh, careful. Don't kick over the ice cream freezer.
Where's Pop?
Look out by our elm tree. See that big lumpy root on the ground?
Yeah.
That's your father.
You're the sleeper.
Yep, he's all cranked out.
Hey, Mom, I wonder how the ice cream is.
Yeah, I've been wondering that, too. Why don't we try it?
I'll get the lid off.
That's kind of an unhealthy pallor, hasn't it?
And like old shaving cream. I'll try. Poor beauty.
I must admit, I admire your courage. Here's a spoon.
Well, here goes.
How is it?
You taste it.
I agree with you wholeheartedly.
What flavor is it supposed to be?
My guess is vanilla.
Are you sure?
Well, there's the cap of the vanilla bottle floating between those two lumps. Here, let's give it another try.
Wait a minute, Mom. Here comes a boy with an unbiased opinion. He'll eat anything.
How's the ice cream? Oh, here, Ricky. Taste it. Give me a spoon. Well, it ain't great. It isn't great.
You ain't kidding. I can't give this stuff to my friends.
Yeah, it is pretty bad, even for those monsters.
Look who's talking. Half of your friends are girls.
All right, that's enough, fellas. What are we going to do about the ice cream?
We'll have to go down to the market and buy some.
Pop isn't going to like this.
Not if he tastes it.
I mean, he won't like us to buy store ice cream after he's gone all the trouble to make this.
Yeah, he did put in a lot of hard work.
Mom, how would it be if we bought the ice cream, dumped this stuff out, and put the good stuff in?
Yeah, Pop wouldn't know the difference, and everybody'd be happy, especially me.
Now, that's not exactly fair. Let's give it another try, see if it tastes any better. Here, take another taste, Ricky. David?
Now you try it, Mom.
David, back out your car.
Here it is, Mom. A gallon of vanilla.
Oh, fine.
Look who just came in.
Pop.
You boys take the ice cream and head up the bakery aisle, cut through the canned soups, and I'll head him off in front of the frozen vegetables.
We're on our way.
Hi-ho, vanilla.
Oh, I beg your... Harriet.
Well, for goodness sake, fancy meeting you here.
Well, what are you doing here?
Well, this is a market, and I'm marketing. What are you doing here?
Well, I woke up and found you were gone, and I decided to take a little walk. So I got in the car, and here I am.
What are you going to buy?
What are you going to buy?
Oh. Well, it's been nice seeing you, dear.
No, wait a minute. Harriet, sometimes I just don't understand you.
Well, I hope not. I'll see you at home.
Well, I hope not. That's a silly answer. It's all done, Mom. I put the stuff we bought in the ice cream freezer.
What did you do with your father's ice cream?
We poured it into a big bowl and put it in the refrigerator.
Oh, no, your father's sure to find it there. Use the gallon container the store ice cream was in, and I'll get rid of it tomorrow.
Hi, Oz, old pal, old friend, old buddy.
Hello, old rat.
What's the matter?
As soon as the hard work started, you disappeared.
I'm sorry, Oz. I had to go home. I was expecting a long-distance call.
From home?
I didn't know. That's why I had to go home.
Pretty flimsy excuse.
Yeah. Well, how's it taste, Oz? Do you want my expert opinion?
Absolutely not. You ducked out the crucial moment. You're not entitled to any.
Well, do you mind if I watch?
Well, okay, but stand back. Delicious. Just like Mother used to make.
Doesn't look like homemade ice cream to me.
Well, you just taste it. Here.
No. I was derelict in my duty, and I'm not entitled to any.
So, go ahead and taste it.
Okay, but remember, you forced me.
How is it?
It's all right.
Oh, take some more. Here's a bigger spoon.
Well, thanks. Yes, sir, that's mighty,
Mighty what?
You mind if I take another taste?
No. Here's a couple of bowls. Let's give this a good, fair trial. Help yourself to another bowl, Thorny.
No, thanks, Oz. But I gotta hand it to you. It's terrific.
Oh. I gotta agree with you. Well, let's put the lid back on. Hey, what happened to all the ice cream?
I guess we tasted it all away.
I can't believe it. Gee, I made this for the kids.
Well, Oz, we had to find out if it was all right for them to eat.
Yes, but we ate it all.
And I think it's all right for them to eat.
Gee, after I gave them this big buildup about homemade ice cream. Oh, I feel awful.
Maybe you can whip up another batch.
Oh, I haven't time.
I got it. Use the ice cream that Harriet bought.
What ice cream?
Well, I saw her take a gallon container of it into the house a little while ago.
Really? Let me look. Oh, yes, there it is. So that's what she was doing at the store. She had no confidence in me.
Well, in past performance, I can't blame her. But why not take advantage of her foresight and dump that store stuff in the ice cream freezer?
It'll never taste the same, Thorny.
Kids won't know the difference. Tell them it's homemade and they'll love her.
Gee, I hate to practice deception.
Oz, old man, you're well past the practice stage.
Sounds like Ricky's friends are having a good time in there.
Yeah, I noticed the ice cream freezer is pretty well cleaned out.
Mm-hmm, the boys really seem to love it.
Did you taste my ice cream?
Yes, dear.
Did you notice its distinctive taste?
I sure did.
Well, Harriet, I'm going to tell you a little secret. That ice cream in the freezer isn't mine.
I know, dear.
Who told you? Thorny?
No, I'm going to tell you a little secret. The boys and I tasted your ice cream while you were napping, and, well, you remember what you said about my jam?
Yes.
Well, that goes double for your homemade ice cream.
Now, how can that be? I tasted it myself, and it was delicious.
Of course. That was the ice cream I bought at the market. We switched.
Well, now, you mean?
Yep.
Well, what did you do with the ice cream I made?
Put it back in the store container and stuck it in the refrigerator.
Harriet, I emptied that container back into the freezer.
You mean the boys are eating your homemade ice cream now?
Yeah.
Can we have some more ice cream?
Oh, why, sure, son. Help yourself. Here you are.
Oh, thanks. I got some more, fellas.
Well, so my ice cream wasn't any good, huh?
Well.
The kids like it. They're coming back for seconds. Proof of the pudding is in the eating, isn't it?
Maybe they think it's pudding.
They know it's ice cream. My homemade ice cream. Oh, hi, son. More ice cream?
No, thanks. More jam.
More jam? You mean my homemade jam?
Sure. Kills the taste of the ice cream.
Help yourself, son. Yep, you're right. That's your homemade ice cream out there.
And it's my homemade jam that they like, the same jam that you said was so awful.
Not exactly.
What do you mean?
Well, while you were at the market, I woke up and tasted some of your homemade jam. And all I could say was, well, I couldn't say anything. My teeth were stuck together. So I rushed right down to the market.
Ozzy, you mean you bought this jam and threw mine out?
Exactly.
That's a pretty low-down sneaky trick.
But it was all right for you to switch my ice cream.
I did it as a matter of public health.
That's why I switched your jam.
Well, I'll make a deal with you. If you won't make any more ice cream, I won't make any more jam.
You know something? If I could lift my arm, I'd shake hands with you. What kind of ice cream should I get?
Oh, get strawberry this time. And you better apologize to Joe.
Oh, Joe! Hey, Joe! Yes, Mr. Nelson. Joe, I want to apologize to you for what I said about your ice cream. I'm really very sorry. If you don't mind, I'd like to buy a quart of vanilla.
I won't sell it to you.
Why not? I apologized, didn't I?
Yeah, but after our argument, I went home and told my wife about it. She made some homemade ice cream, and, well, you're right. It is better than the stuff I sell.
But, Joe...
Mr. Nelson, I can't go on living a lie. As soon as I get rid of all the junk in the truck, I'm going into the frozen vegetable business. Bye, Mr. Nelson.
The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet on Tuned to Yesterday from October 30th, 1953. And that brings to a close this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden age. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levanier. Thanks for tuning in.